aboard the Truth Express with your conductor, Erskine, who gives you the latest on national news, politics, policies, business, and government issues.
We're very fortunate to have with us Mr. Joss at W. E. Moore, Principal of E. Moore & Associates. He practices constitutional and food and drug law in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Before the federal courts and agencies, he's the only attorney in American history to defeat the FDA 8 times, in federal courts 7 times on First Amendment grounds. He's the author of Global Censorship of Health Information. Good Lord, if we haven't seen that, we haven't seen anything. The Rise of Tyranny, The Incredible Restore the Republic, but his latest and best book, The Authoritarians, we're seeing it daily. We're going to talk about COVID suppression, killing Americans, and much more, much, much more. Mr. E. Moore, I never thought I'd see what I'm seeing. We're seeing the fruits of your book, Authoritarians, in Canada right now. Justin Castro Trudeau, on Christmas Day, 1971, he and Margaret, he was born, the son of Margaret and Pierre Trudeau. No, he was probably the son of Fidel Castro, spring of 71, April to be exact, April 13, 1971, 8.5 months before he was born. They were in Cuba with Fidel Castro. Trudeau was 48, she was 18 when they met. When they married, she was he was 53, she was 23. Margaret partied at Studio 54. She had sex with Ted Kennedy, broke up with Pierre, had an affair with Ronnie Wood. That's according to Keith Richards. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff. Pierre has sex with Margaret Kidder, Kim Cattrall, Barbara Streisand. I mean, these people were just, they were swingers is what they were. And so that's the fact behind that. And he has become a dictator in Canada, hasn't he?
Well, he certainly has. He has assumed the role of a tyrant in Canada, and the poor Canadians are now suffering from a total deprivation of their freedom of choice over their health freedom in Canada. They're gone.
He's basically taking on the same attitude that his father did in Cuba, the same type attitude. I mean, this is just incredible. And they don't realize, well, the same thing. Our powers, our rights came from God. And this is what we realize as Americans. Their rights come from God, not from a king, a queen, or somebody acting like that. And now, in the authoritarians, you had a statement, and I've got to read it, because this is exactly what's going on here, and we've got almost a replication of there. At root, he clung to the belief that cities and government could best represent business and other people's lives because the superior education enabled them to know better than the typical American what was America's best interest. He believed government a force for good that could direct people and business away from vice, avarice, and self-interest. I mean, this is just absolutely incredible. That was Justice Frankfurter. I mean, that's incredible. They're smarter than us. They're smarter than the people. They know better. They know what to do better. This is what they think, isn't it?
It is. And, the Canadian Charter of Rights is not akin to our Bill of Rights in this respect. It's a product of their parliament. It's not a constitutional requirement. It's not independent of the political branches. Our Constitution was meant to be a written affirmation of individual sovereignty. It fulfilled the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, which established that just governments depend on the consent of the governed in order to be just, in order to be lawful. In Canada, the poor people in Canada don't have a constitutional recognition that their rights come from God. They don't have that foundation. Instead, the Canadian state presumes that rights stem from the state, and because they do, they have the discretion, so the Canadian government thinks, to take away those rights. And so here we see, in response to exercising their free speech right to protest, they are now going to be punished by having their bank accounts frozen, by being ostracized, vilified, and attacked by the government and harassed. And that is totally a violation of our First Amendment in this country. But in Canada, they declare a state of emergency, and the rights of the people are taken away because the rights are believed to come from Parliament, not from God. They're not pre-political, as was the founder's brilliant foundation on Lockean grounds here. They are deemed in Canada to be political. Rights are granted by the government and taken away, therefore, by the government at its discretion.
But the government serves at the will and pleasure of the people, they still believe, and they're trying to fight for that. And they're having a difficult time because I know people who are up in Canada, as you do, who have been taking jerry cans of fuel to the people who are protesting. I know a lot of the tow truck drivers, they're refusing to move the trucks. A lot of the police are on their side. The people are standing up, and they're also on all the overpasses into the provinces. They've got five provincial capitals in Canada, Alberta, Saskatchewan, all Prince Edward Island. Five of the seven of their provinces have all done away with the mask and the mandates. So they are turning on them, and even a tyrannical government can't stand up against their own people.
That's right, and I believe they've had tremendous success thus far, and I certainly hope that they remain steadfast in their opposition to the government and not move their protests as a result of the harassment that's coming from Trudeau. Trudeau is a tyrant. He's a simple tyrant.
He's also a chicken. Look, the guy went into hiding. He's a chicken.
Yes, that's why he's so simple. The problem with him is also the answer to this problem, the solution to their trucker's dilemma, and that is his problem is that he actually is a coward, right? He lacks the intestinal fortitude to even meet with the truckers or even meet with protesters. He instead unleashes the military upon them, unleashes the police. And so it is that he cowers in a bunker somewhere when the threat of them descending on the Capitol occurred, and now he popped out again to speak to Parliament for a brief stint, but only so long as he has others doing his bidding. He's not willing to meet with the truckers himself. He's the quintessential example of an elitist who views his people as actually his enemies. He thinks of them as grubby, and he doesn't want to interact with them. He ought to be removed from office, but unfortunately in Canada, there's an enormous number of very far-left people, and I don't know whether or not they will vote him out. I certainly hope they will, but for the moment, I think that the truckers have established that they have the upper hand, and they're actually causing the provinces to drop the mandates. All the while, the COVID is diminishing in its significance worldwide due to Omicron, and Omicron, as Dr. Marty McCarry has described it, is a natural vaccine.
Right.
It is effective in eliminating your risk of contracting Delta and the original, more virulent strains.
Right.
So
now,
that's why we see this precipitous drop. We have less than 200,000 new cases today, substantially less across the United States. Canada is likewise experiencing a huge reduction in the number of cases.
Now, you had an article which I found to be absolutely fascinating. COVID treatment suppression is killing Americans. Now, Biden operated much like Trudeau on the entire election. He stayed in his basement because every time he'd come out, he'd say something stupid. So he went with vaccination alone, censored any valid treatments. Now, you work in food and drug law, and this is exactly the type of thing you would be fighting, because President Trump talked about hydroxychloroquine, which works. They came out from Remdesivir, which has a side effect that destroys your kidneys. And hydroxy was cheap. Ivermectin is cheap. It works. It cures people. Now, they want to do away with that, and they want just the vaccine. Why would you stay with something that even the company says doesn't work, that is still experimental, it's not approved, and then want to expand it to children? Even the company says it shouldn't. Because I was talking with Dr. Simone, who you and I both know and respect as much as any physician I know in the country, in the world, actually. And he said children do not get the COVID because they do not have the receptor sites. It's as simple as that. That's the science, not Dr. Fauci. That's the real science of it. So why do they not allow people? They've had people who've gone into hospitals with ivermectin and with hydroxy, and the hospitals refuse to give it to the patient, and the patients die. His wife was dying, and they wouldn't let him do that. I mean, this is not America. This is not medicine. They're destroying science. They're destroying medicine in this actions, in my opinion.
Well, they took a model that works very well. That is the doctor-patient model, where
Right. Individual
patients are counseled by their physicians and make their own choices based on full information about how best to deal with the disease, predicated on their own unique medical history. They replace that with this collectivist approach of
Right. Ordering
everyone to be vaccinated and describing the vaccine falsely as the panacea, as the solution to the problem. If you get your vaccine, you're done. You don't have to worry about it. And the truth is that the vaccine waned within 4 months of administration.
Right.
They called for boosters. The boosters wane within a few months of administration. Those who are vaccinated are still capable of contracting the variants. They're also
It reduces their immune system. Immune system the more vaccines you take, right?
And they get the original virus too. And the problem is, so then you have all of these people entering the hospital. They said that it would only be, they said that the COVID was a disease of the unvaccinated. Hospitals are loaded with people who are vaccinated, who contracted the disease. So that proved to be false. And then, all the while, as you point out, with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, also with Paxlovid, which is sitting there not going to be released to the public till April,
despite
reducing the progression of the disease and the risk of hospitalization and death by 90%.
Wow.
All these early treatments that are available that can reduce the risk of hospitalization and death have been denied the public, and they've been denied through a political movement at the federal and state level that has pushed vaccination as the end-all be-all and has looked at treatments as a distraction that reduces the likelihood that people would go in and be vaccinated. So for this vaccine religion which they created, they sacrifice the science and the practice of medicine on an individual case-by-case basis. And that has been devastating. That has caused an enormous number of people to die who, if they had been treated or had been informed by their physicians early on in the disease that they could be treated, they likely would have been hospitalized and likely would have died. We'll be right back.
The Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for no fee for life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs top rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today.
Mystery Morgue, what they're doing is one size fits all. They won't even accept natural immunity, which in Israel, the results have shown that natural immunity or herd immunity stops it as to 20, 25 to 28% better protection than any shot. If you've had it, you're not going to get it nearly as bad, and they won't accept that. It's politics, not science, followed by dollars for Big Pharma. They have condemned the unvaxxed. They got what they deserved, and the vaccinated, they're doing their patriotic duty. This is propaganda science. If you talk out about it, they're going to suppress all dissent. They're going to take you off of, deplatform you from anywhere. This is, I've never seen this happen before. This is terrible. You have good doctors who come out and say things, and they're trying to give, there's no discussion about it. There's absolutely no discussion. You can't get to the truth unless you're allowed to have free discussion. I'm not saying take the vaccine or don't, but let's talk about it. That's the American way of doing things, isn't it? Show it in the light of day.
Well, our First Amendment to the Constitution rests on the premise that individuals are sovereign and that they have a right to decide for themselves what they ought to do, that they have a right to receive information, and that they have a right to decide what they wish to do with that information. Government is not to be a super editor. Government is not to sit in judgment and evaluate science and determine what is politically correct science and what is not. The power of the First Amendment is to disarm government of this censorship and to ensure, even in areas like this of science, perhaps most especially, that individuals are allowed to make their own judgments, and our goal should be full information. The solution to this problem is not to compel people into a one-size-fits-all approach.
No,
that
no.
Obviously is not a panacea. It's not working. The solution to the problem is to give people full information and let them decide and allow the physicians to practice medicine and recommend for a patient the treatment that's best for them. That's the solution to this problem. And as you're pointing out, you know, they not only lied about natural immunity for so long, saying that they had insufficient information to say whether natural immunity existed. They certainly knew it did. But they also lied about the extent of protection from the vaccine. They didn't tell people that they could carry the virus even though they were vaccinated and they could transmit it to others. And yet they used that false narrative as a basis to impose the mandate, saying that the unvaccinated pose a unique risk of transmission in the workplace. Utter nonsense. The science shows that both the vaccinated and the unvaccinated alike can transmit the disease. Then Omicron came along as the great leveling force,
right?
And the people who are vaccinated also contracted Omicron. And so the hospitals became filled with people who are vaccinated, disproving the falsehood made by Joe Biden, where he said if you get vaccinated, you're essentially done. You're not going to get the disease. He
and
said
Bill
that the disease was the disease
unvaccinated.
Of the unvaccinated.
If you were unvaccinated, you were completely vilified. I've got a quote from your article. This is too good. There's an obvious alternative to the reprehensible disregard for human life. That's to be honest with the American people, give them full information about the COVID opinions, and rather than take their liberty away for not following the commands of a woefully misinformed, doddering dictator, let them freely choose, with the aid of their own physicians, how to best treat this horrible illness, recognizing that vaccinated and unvaccinated alike are equally deserving of care. When Biden, were Biden humane, decent, and respectful of the constitutional limits on his power, he would follow that course. That he has not done, so is proof of his inhumanity, indecency, and disdain for the Constitution. He's shown his disdain for the Constitution by not protecting the border. He's shown his disdain for the Constitution with his actions on this COVID and what he's done to medicine in general and science in general. He's been disdainful of the Constitution throughout, even in selecting a Supreme Court judge, doing it by race. It never was done by race. I mean, this is just absolute insanity. Can he not be brought up on charges of going against the Constitution? We'll talk about that when we get back, plus much more, with Jonathan W. Horn. I'm sorry to ram on that, but it's too good to read, not to read.
The Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for a no-fee-for-life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs' top-rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today.
The articles I'm quoting from are from townhall.com, and the book, The Authoritarian, this is destined to be a bestseller, because when you wrote that mystery mark, we had no idea what was going to happen in Canada, and that's just absolute proof. We're seeing it slower here, but the same type of things happening. When you disregard the Constitution on so many levels, is there not a grounds for impeachment on that? This is real. Before your eyes, impeachable offenses, in my opinion.
Well, you could impeach President Biden. However, you'd get Kamala Harris.
And Don't go there.
If you impeach Kamala Harris, then you get Nancy Pelosi. And
even worse. It
goes from bad
worse.
To worse and worse to worse. So I think we're kind of stuck with Joe Biden. I think the best thing to do is to clip his wings by electing Republicans to the House and Senate.
Are we going to have an honest election this time?
Well, that's to be seen. But I have hope.
I want a yes answer.
There are a lot of Republican monitors that are being assigned, and people who enormous fleet of attorneys across the nation who are going to be activated by the Republican Party to monitor the elections. And to file suit when necessary. So, there's going to be much more scrutiny and attention on the election process than ever before. And I would hope that would have a salutary effect. We'll have to see.
Are they still going to use the same machines to do the counting that they used last time in most states?
Well, I think it varies from state to state. And I think also the extent to which mail-in ballots are going to be accepted. For example, California will be a complete corrupt mess,
right?
Because they allow ballot harvesting, and so you have Democrats going into people's homes and meeting with people and gathering it illegally from mailboxes and filling them in and then submitting them, and they have very little of a means by which to prove the fraud. But as I say, the Republican Party is really dedicated to election integrity and is going to have an army that is going to be assembling and monitoring what is done. But California is an example of really a system so corrupt that it's hard to believe that any election in California can be said to be fair because of the high risk of fraud.
In New York, you can't even go into a restaurant if you're above 5 years old and don't have your vaccination card. But you can vote without proof of ID, and they're allowing illegals to vote. Is this going to happen across the country? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think we're really in a good position. We're heading in a direction where I think President Biden on his March 1st State of the Union address is going to crow like the Dickens about how his mandates have won the nation over and that it's putting COVID into a box. The reality is that Omicron did that. But here's the story. The administration, even as we speak, the CDC is contemplating rolling back the mandates, rolling back the recommendations for masking. And the reason is the political movement in this country, as you see overtly in Canada, with the Freedom Convoy, the political movement in this country, even among Democrats in many states, is pushing strongly against these mandates for masking and for vaccination. So the administration needs to find a point to jump off because it's not going to be a politically palatable situation when you have such low incidence of COVID by the time the spring rolls around, and yet would have these still these draconian requirements in place. I suspect that all these mandates are going to go by the wayside, and I think there's going to be an overwhelming reaction. The problem with the administration is that they don't appreciate fully, and they soon will, to their great chagrin, just how rabid and angry people are that their freedoms were taken from them, and the reality of this being a false ploy to exercise power over people is coming home to a lot of folks who are realizing that even though they got vaccinated, they still got sick, or even though they got or even though their children were told that they were at risk of disease if they didn't wear a mask to school, find out that the science is squarely against that, and that in Europe and other places of the world where they haven't had masking, they've had very little infection arising from kids and very little transmission among children, and the children have done well, extremely well. So the hysteria that they use to drum up this uniform adherence to one standard from the federal government is now causing people to recognize, who had been duped into thinking it was real, that it was fake and that its purpose was to gain control, and people are angry and they're reacting to it. So I think that it's going to be a significant day in early November, the first Tuesday, when the voting takes place.
The Catholic schools in New York never shut down. They never had a problem. They never had great exposure or anything else. The only people who had a problem were those in nursing homes, who the governor sent those who were infected into nursing homes, killing I don't know how many. He should have been brought up on charges on that. But one of the things that I have found, and you've seen the same thing, I think it's the mama bears showed what could be done in Virginia. Huge turn, huge change from the election that Biden carried Virginia to the mama bears carrying Virginia for the gubernatorial candidate and the lieutenant governor, who is a marvelous lady. Both of them are terrific, making a 180-degree turn for Virginia, didn't it?
Yes, and Governor Youngkin is a fantastic governor, tremendous person.
Right.
And really a person of enormous integrity, and that's coming through. People are realizing that. But what's your point is a good one. We have an interesting situation. The Biden administration went far left, thinking that those who voted for him would go along with them. And what they've discovered is that they've actually left their own base. And what's happening is, even in Northern Virginia, in the suburbs, where suburban women voted overwhelmingly for Joe Biden, those same women, to a significant extent, upwards of 30% of them in some areas, voted for Youngkin. And the reason is that the school boards, authoritarian as can be, trenched upon the rights of these families in Northern Virginia, and they began to realize what socialism and authoritarianism is all about. When you lose control of your children at the schoolhouse gate, such that your child can be given pornography in school and can be led to believe that the child can elect whatever gender they want and school counselors will help them achieve it, and are fed critical race theory Marxism and are indoctrinated in the classroom and are criticized for their race and are said to be white supremacists if they're white and said to be perpetual victims if they're black, all of this did not sit well with the mama bears. And so they attacked the school boards.
It did not.
And they voted out the Democratic agenda in Virginia, and they voted in a very strong governor who's proving himself to be a hero for this state. He's really a magnificent governor indeed.
He's proving himself a hero for the nation because he's showing what can be done. And I think when they brought I'm not sure if they ever brought Joe Biden into the campaign at all. I know that Youngkin just ran on Americanism. He didn't even bring in President Trump or anybody, and that was just as well because it
so
really, really worked.
So McAuliffe did bring in Biden. He brought in Biden.
Yeah.
He brought in Harris. He brought in Chuck Schumer. He established very quickly that he was linked inextricably to the far-left movement, and then he put his foot, big as it is, right down his throat in the debates when he admitted that he didn't think parents had a role to play in their children's education.
Did that make him mad, didn't it?
That kind of hurt, yeah. And what happened was
their own arrogance
rose in their fury, and they tipped the balance for Youngkin. He won only by 2 percentage points.
Well, and that's okay. Look at what happened in New Jersey also. You had a Teamster trucker who ended up taking one of the main people out of New Jersey,
the Speaker of the House.
Right. And he had next to no money, and he was a trucker, and he ended up doing it. We're going to have more of that, more regular people going into Congress and more regular people going in and working in state legislatures. And the other thing is there is no position that's minor. People see this on the school board. Used to be school board, well, he's a good guy, I guess, and we'll put him in, or I've heard his name somewhere, so I'll vote for him. No. People are starting to wake up, and they're starting to see there are no minor positions. Prosecutor, what does a prosecutor matter? Well, it matters a great deal, doesn't it?
Well, when you see, even in San Francisco, bastion of liberalism, you see 3 members of their school board subject to a recall now because of liberal parents upset with how far left the school board went, you see a revolution taking place in the opposite direction. Biden sold his soul to the far left wing of his party. He allowed Bernie Sanders to set the domestic economic agenda.
Sanders and AOC, right.
And so he's now reaping the bitter harvest because the American people are not socialists. They don't want communism, and they want their rights protected. We haven't talked about this, but the real issue in Virginia was parents' rights.
Right.
And that issue resonates and is resonating across the United States. Parents have a right to bring up their children in the religion that they choose, with the social mores they prefer, and
right.
Schools are not appropriate vehicles for imparting, in place of a parent's judgment, what religion there, it's a statist religion, what gender preferences and what ideological preferences, political preferences kids are to have. It's supposed to be a ground for open debate, encouraging children to have their own views. Instead, you have a cancel culture environment where kids are barked down if they say anything that's deemed politically incorrect, even if they use the wrong pronoun.
Right.
And that nonsense is so destructive and ruinous. And they replace a meritocracy, which is the ideal of good education, with this idea of equity, where they say that based on your color of your skin, you ought to be given preferences in education, and in addition to that, we ought to destroy achievement in academics because they say that it's inherently racist. So you have merit-based schools being eliminated, or their curriculum being changed completely, so that it becomes mediocre, because they assume, on a very racist assumption, I might add, that people of color are simply not capable of excelling. And
right.
This,
so anybody
who embitters
color
people of color,
position.
The parents of people of color, will
right.
not swallow this swill. They're
no.
sick of this elitist, white, largely white academic dogma that is being fed to them, that they cannot succeed in America, that they don't know how to compete and never will be able to, that systemic racism is everywhere and they'll never be able to succeed. What utter rot. Instead, why don't we teach children that every child, which is a precious human being, every child has an opportunity to succeed in America.
Sure.
And why not take their achievements and celebrate them? And enable them to achieve the best they can, and tell them that every child can be a great American, and invite them to become great, instead of telling them that they're hopelessly victims or that they're hopelessly white supremacists. Let's get over that nonsense. We ought
Absolutely.
Not be dividing children based on race. We ought to be celebrating that they're Americans, regardless of their race.
You're tainting them for the rest of their lives. That I only got this job. You're making people feel inferior on both sides, and that's the wrong way to do it. I thought we were over the racism. I thought
that's
when
of
we
of course
at least,
unconstitutional as well. It violates the Equal Protection Clause when schools segregate kids based on race. In other words, when they reintroduce Jim Crow, which is what they're doing, when you segregate schools, you violate the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. The Constitution does not allow the government, through its proxy, these public schools, to divide classes based on race or to presume that there are certain traits associated with race. In the end, race, of course, is but pigment. I mean, it's nothing more than superficial surface coloration.
Right.
And yet they presume, in this extraordinary racism that they have, they presume that it pervades through your entire body, but worse, that it actually characterizes who you are as a person as opposed to the content of your character. Martin Luther King had it right. Ibram Kendi has it wrong. We ought to dump socialism, go for free market capitalism, recognize that's what America's all about, and recognize that we are not a socialist country, that we're a limited federal republic, and that our freedom depends on remaining a republic.
And our freedom depends on treating people as individuals, not as a collective.
That's correct. Absolutely.
And that's so important that God sees individuals. We should see individuals because it's what the individual does. And the individual has made this country, not only in school and that sort of thing, but also in business. We'll be right back with you.
The Biden administration is quickly moving to implement the liberal fantasy of socialist spending. After spending a $2.1 trillion stimulus, the president and Democratic-led Congress have introduced another $3 trillion plan to add to our insurmountable debt, seeking to raise taxes on Americans making as little as $200,000 a year. Have you seen the immigration footage? 87 million putting illegals in hotel rooms and our troops sleeping on parking garage floors. Could this be the biggest single gold buying opportunity in history? Well, Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs say this is the time to buy gold. Patriot Gold Group, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may qualify for a no-fee-for-life IRA. Call 800-356-4470 for details. Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs' top-rated gold IRA dealer, 5 years running. Call 800-356-4470 today.
Mystery Board, you wrote a very interesting article. To defeat Russia, the Ukrainians must adapt to ungentlemanly-like warfare. That came from a quote of Winston Churchill. So you're saying they can defeat them. The Americans won in the American Revolution. The Russians lost in Afghanistan to a ragtag group. The U.S. in Afghanistan and Vietnam didn't fare any better. And basically, one of the things is the people will be fighting for their homeland. The Russians aren't. They have a patriotism there. The Russians, it's a job. They can use exploit the Russians' weaknesses. They use commandos to hit the fuel supply. They can remove key components from aircraft, tanks, and other things, contaminate food, water, that sort of thing, cyber warfare. There are a lot of things they can do. I don't want to see the U.S. go to war for the Ukraine to keep their borders. We can't keep our own border on the south, and I don't think most Americans want to see it. But I think that the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden, I hate to say that, but I really think that he needs a diversion off of what's going on here. I think this is a diversion.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the approach that would work is one, of course, Biden has not employed because he simply hasn't the stamina or backbone necessary to rise to the challenge here. But I do believe this is the approach to take. You would rally the Allies and cut off the oil. You would massively increase domestic oil production, reversing his executive order to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline and to basically make us energy independent.
And allow drilling on federal lands again.
And then you would expand the provision of fuel to Europe, to Germany, and you would agree in exchange for an investment in supplying Germany with these new shipped access to oil and gas and other sources in Europe, that you would overcome. It would be a universal NATO goal to overcome any purchase of energy from Russia. Russia is 90% dependent upon Europe's purchase of its oil in order to fund its economy. So you cut off its economic lifeline, and then at the same time, you would build up NATO along the border substantially, not just by a few thousand American soldiers.
Right.
But you would really beef it up and beef up our armaments along the border that pose a significant threat to Russia. And then also you would increase the covert aid to the Ukraine to engage in what Winston Churchill referred to as ungentlemanly warfare, sabotage. And this whole movement would counter and substantially counter what they plan to do, would likely deter Russia from proceeding, and you would continue to unroll this program as Russia watched, and Russia would be deterred. Now, this would have had to be most effective. This would have occurred much earlier. You never would have agreed to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline.
No, and he got nothing for doing that.
And you never would have destroyed our energy independence, which is so idiotic and outrageous on this hokum about climate change. In addition, this hokum about the need for a green economy, which is based on wind and solar, which has never been proven.
Well, who's on the board of Burisma of the Ukraine? Isn't that Donald Trump? Trump, who's his son on the board of Burisma out of the Ukraine? No, it's Hunter Biden who is on Burisma's board.
And there's so much corruption there. And now, of course, with the latest revelations about Hillary Clinton and her attorney actually working to prepare this whole dossier, we knew that we had strong indications of that early on, but now we have very strong evidence apparently in John Durham's department.
He's got the goods on him. He's got to be very, very careful, but I'm sure he is. He seems to be the type of person who's going to cross the T's and dot the I's properly. And if I were Hillary Clinton, I'd be very, very worried, because this is basically treason to overthrow the government the way she did.
Yeah, this might put a little crimp in her desire to run for president again. I don't know, but
let's hope. Let's hope.
She's the got a huge ego, so I don't know if it will.
The only thing I can say is we've got a fighting rally for this year. Let's go, Brandon. That's what we need to do. Because are you seeing the inflation mitigating? I don't know that it's going to.
No way.
No.
It's going to go up. It's going to go up considerably. Watch.
Unfortunately, that's the election right there. Thank you, Mr. Eborn.
Bet.
All aboard the Truth Express. You can listen on your favorite podcast app or local radio station.
Patriot Gold Group, Consumer Affairs Operated, 5 years running for your IRA or 401k. Call 800-356-4470 today.
With America's best warranty and complimentary maintenance, plus available premium features like wireless device charging, the Hyundai Tucson, Santa Fe, and Kona SUVs make every street easy street.
Get 1.9% APR for up to 60 months on a 2022 Hyundai Tucson or Santa Fe, or up to $500 in total savings. Only at your Valley Hyundai dealers. For well-qualified buyers only. Offers end 2/28/22. Call 480-500-7931 for complete details.